Now for the latest on the missing Malaysian airliner. Australia is investigating two objects seen on satellite images in the southern Indian Ocean that could be connected to Flight 370, but it's nighttime there now, so the search has been called off until daylight. The search area is very remote. It's 1,500 miles from Perth. And Jeffrey Thomas, the editor of AirlineRatings.com, says that's just one of the challenges facing the searchers.
You're talking about the Great Southern Ocean. You're talking about very wild seas. And you're talking about a depth of about 10,000 feet. So it's going to be probably the most difficult recovery of an aeroplane ever, if that's where it is.
News that possible plane parts had been found marked a new phase in the emotional roller coaster for distraught relatives of the passengers. Those family members and friends have criticized Malaysia harshly for not releasing timely information about the search. Joining us now from Malaysia is the BBC's Jennifer Pak. She's at the Hotel Cyber Jaya, where some of the family members are staying. They've been meeting with officials from China and Malaysia today. And Jennifer, at this point, is the thinking there that the debris is related to the missing plane?
There is credible information from the Australians that it could be, but the thing is that Malaysian officials have been very cautious to say that it is not confirmed yet. And so now at the end of day 13, we still don't have much more information, but this is the first time that they have found some evidence of debris in the new search area they defined.
But of course, there have been a lot of false starts, sightings that turned out not to be related to the jet. And David Wright of ABC News was on a plane that got somewhat close to this debris. He says he felt confident that it was part of a freighter, not an airplane. Have you heard anything about that?
No, but I could tell you that what kind of information this does to family members here is that it's heartbreaking, it's agonizing, because for almost 2 weeks now they've been hearing possible sightings of debris, things that oil slicks that could have possibly be related to the aircraft, and then suddenly being told that the search area they're looking at is completely in vain, that they have to start all over again in a completely new area. So a lot of family members don't really know what to believe. There's a lot of frustration with Malaysian officials. There's a sense that perhaps Malaysian officials are holding back, not telling them everything that they know. We don't have evidence of that whatsoever, and Malaysian officials have maintained that they've been transparent all along. Unfortunately, because of the baffling situation that we're in now, that we're almost at the end of the second week and still no closer to understanding what happened to this flight, that there's a lot of mistrust between the family members and Malaysian officials, which is why they're meeting here today. Senior Malaysian officials are meeting with family members here at the Cyber Jaya Hotel, where some of them are staying and trying to get up-to-date information.
And Malaysian officials have addressed that frustration you're talking about. Here's something that Malaysia's acting transport minister said today.
For the families, the one piece of information that we want most, that they want most, is the information we just don't have, the location of MH370.
Again, acknowledging how exasperated and frustrated these families feel. Are the Malaysian officials doing anything different or new for the families to address their needs?
Well, the fact that they are offering up senior-level officials to be meeting with the families here in Kuala Lumpur is something new. In fact, they're sending a similar team out, consisting of the Civil Aviation Department, the head of the Air Force Chief, or somebody from the Air Force, as well as Navy. You have this Transport Ministry. You have people from the Prime Minister's office all going to be sent to Beijing so that they can deal with the family members who are waiting in Beijing as well, to let them feel and get a sense that their needs matter, rather than just seeing it on TV, these press conferences. A lot of them, again, as I say, they feel that the information they're getting is not enough, that perhaps officials know more than they're letting on. Unfortunately, we don't really get a sense of that, but it just seems that because Malaysian officials have handled this situation quite poorly, we've come to this situation where there's a huge distrust between the family members and Malaysian officials.
Jennifer, we can hear all that background noise behind you, and that's even though this is nighttime. So is that sort of the typical volume of people there, or is this a lot of crowd because of this latest possible discovery?
Well, we are here with a lot of journalists who are right now waiting for any sign of family members who want to speak to us. I don't know if you heard, but there was a distressful scene yesterday where there were Chinese family members who tried to crash the press conference where we were given daily updates on the search effort. Well, the answer that Malaysian officials have is that they're not only offering senior officials here, but they've also carved out a little media area for journalists to stand around. They say, we're expecting that if family members want to speak to the media, then they would be able to come down here. Of course, yesterday's scene was completely opposite, where you have police officers actually shoving journalists aside and not being able to access some of the family members. Right now in front of me, I've received a notice from Malaysia Airlines saying that they've received complaints that the family members are harassed by the media, and that they say if these family members are willing to be interviewed, that is totally fine by them. Certainly completely different, but we can see that Malaysian officials are trying to adapt, because this is a completely new situation. They're not used to a media that is so critical and also challenging them at every turn.
Jennifer, one last question about those two objects seen on satellite images in the Indian Ocean. Even though it's unclear at this point what they are, have they now been incorporated into the search in some way?
Indeed, you have search aircraft from Australia as well as New Zealand who are going out there. You have a U.S. aircraft heading out there to try to see whether this is, in fact, part of the aircraft, Flight 370. They have not stopped any other search efforts, though. They are also looking in other parts of the Indian Ocean, stretching up to Indonesia, and also in the other search area where they believe the flight was last detected, which was from northern Thailand all the way up to Central Asia. We're talking about a massive piece of land that crisscrosses some 11 countries. It requires a lot of diplomatic clearances from all of these countries, and so that's why the search effort in the north part has taken so long to go ahead. With this news, though, that there's possible debris down in the south, that's why it seems as if there's a lot more activity down in the south end. It seems to make the most sense, the fact that we're now on day 13 and we still have not found any sign of wreckage or confirmed sign of the wreckage yet.
That's the BBC's Jennifer Pack. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We mentioned that David Wright of ABC News was aboard one of the search planes sent to investigate the signs of debris seen in satellite images, and his plane found nothing. But David described to the BBC how challenging this search process is.
In parts, it was difficult to scan the surface of the water. The cloud cover very low, sort of a wispy fog. It gets sort of trance-like staring out at that ocean. It's vast and it's empty.
Again, that's David Wright of ABC News. The search will continue later today. You're listening to Here and Now.